And I love to see children because, see, I got three of them over there. Three little boys. How old are you, buddy? Can you tell me how old you are?
Four.
Yeah, I have a little boy named Caden. He's four. So I'm going to tell a story tonight. So maybe if you can listen in between the times you get bored and stuff, be good. I think it'll be good for you. All right, let me say something before I start my story to you all little children. You all listening? Y'all kiddos, you listening to me right now? All right, I'm going to tell you a story about what Jesus did for me. I'm going to tell you how strong Jesus is. His power is so great. It's really wonderful. Okay, but when I tell you my story, there's going to be some things that I say that will be a little bit scary. Okay? But remember, Jesus is bigger than anything. And you guys have good mom and dads. So just sit real close to them. I don't want to scare you, but I'm going to tell you my story, what happened to me. Because I was a little boy at one time too. Okay? Alright. I wrote a little outline because last time that I shared it, I went over an hour. So I think I was doing a lot of rambling. So I'm going to try to do what I can here. And if I have kind of got off track and God wants to bring me in track, then we're just going to let him lead to that. I was thinking of that verse, Romans 8, verse 28. And that verse says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And that is a promise I take for myself, and I want y'all to take for yourself as well. God does many great things. And a lot of times in my life, I wondered if God really cared for me. And because Satan had told me so many lies. There in Psalms, he talks about how God cares for us. And he makes us, I just put it in my own words. The question was asked, how many times does God really love us? And he thinks about us. And the thought that came out, he said, his thoughts about me are more than the sands of the sea. And that was really amazing to me. And I keep holding on to that because I'm so excited about what God is planning to do with me. And, you know, Romans 5 verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And that's my testimony of what God has done for me. I am going to be telling you a story of my redemption from a curse that was put on me. And I think that was a curse that I had been born with. Came through generations, iniquities. It talks about that in Leviticus, how some of these iniquities, witchcraft and whatnot, will come from second and third generation. And I think that's what happened in my case. I was born in Honduras. I'm not quite sure if I was born in the mountains, but I was the orphanage that I was taken to was in Guamaca. And I was in an orphanage there for almost 3 years. And it was through that my parents were able to adopt me and my brothers. And I remember going to the States. That was so exciting. You know, I remember people talk about the States. You know, let's go to the States and see what, you know, because everything, the States was so wonderful because down there everything was so poor. You drive through town, you'd see kids sleeping on the sidewalks just huddled up underneath the store windows. And so, yeah, let's go to the States. And I was adopted by two wonderful people, Dad and Mom, Phil and Jan Byler, originally from Virginia Beach. And I was not aware of this curse. Nobody was aware of my family. And the first time that I had experienced it was out when I was about 4 years old. Around four some years old, I remember I had this terrible dream one night. And this was basically Satan's initiation to my life. And he was like, "Here, I'm here. I'm going to hit you hard." And at 4 years old, what do? At 4 years old, you don't know. You don't know nothing. You're a child. At 4 years old, I was learning English. I spoke a little bit of Spanish, a little bit of English, and a little bit of Dutch. Because there were some people there that spoke Dutch that took care of us at the orphanage. So I was transitioning from Dutch, Spanish over to English. So I had a lot of things probably going for me. Anyways, he came one night and he attacked me. And I remember vividly in bed, I woke up for some reason and I seen this demon coming at me. And at first glance, he looked like my father was coming. And as I watched in horror as he started coming, he started forming into this evil person. And the racket and the noise that was with that was so powerful that when he came up to me and charged me, I don't really think he laid a hand on me, but his blackness presence, the same blackness that I think will be in hell, was so heavy that I felt so much pain. It felt like someone took a sledgehammer and just beat me across the face, across my body. So hard that you know, when I think about it, it's almost like, I don't know if you ever got hit in the head, you know, football, you might, but the pain was so hard I could almost taste that metal taste on my teeth, in my tongue. And that was his initiation to me. That was his way of saying, through that curse, through that iniquity, you are mine. Here's what I got to show you. And one thing I'll tell you, he never, we see in scriptures how he talks about Satan comes as an angel of light, you know. He comes at this, he's like this wolf that looks like this beautiful little sheep, like along with the other little sheep, you know. We got little four little sheep right here. And he sees them all, and he mixes in with them. And that's how people see him at sometimes. They see him, and he's false. But one thing I am convinced, because of that iniquity, because of that curse that he already felt like I was his, he never showed me his beautiful person. I never once seen anything beautiful from Satan. It was always that darkness and blackness. Anyways, that was my initiation to his world. 8, 9, 10, 11, I started to remember experiencing these blacknesses, if that's a word, in my bed. In the far corner of my bed. I remember every night we'd go to bed and we'd shut the lights off. The light in the hallway would be on, so the doors halfway closed. You could see light coming in. Light was freedom. Okay. And I would always lay there and in the corner I would see this blackness. But it was a hole. It was just a different kind of blackness. I didn't see no face. I just seen blackness. And I was so afraid of that blackness. Never seen a face in that blackness. But anyway, I would lay in bed and I'd roll over and I'd lay and I'd point the door, see the light. Light was freedom. And behind me was that black hole. And I would shut my nerves off in the back of my body because my nerves would be all standing on end. I'm not quite sure how you do that. But somehow I was able to numb myself and I would sleep every night, all the time. And then he started getting a little stronger. Then he said, okay, you know what? That's scaring him good. And now he's learned how to deal with that. So I'm going to start showing him a little bit of me. And probably 11, 12, I'd start seeing him. And I could see a couple of him. And they were green demons. I don't know how to explain to you how I couldn't write. Actually, you want to go watch some of these horror movies, Chainsaw Massacre stuff, the stuff that they come up with? Somebody had an experience with them and wrote the pictures of them because that's probably pretty good zombie stuff. Somebody was in connection with that blackness closer than what they expected. And he would look something like this and he would come over and hang over me. And I just had fear. I would just cover up, you know, you'd be just trying to sleep. And he would come over and just look at me and he would just be around. His presence was definitely known. And I would always fear. And so we started asking my parents to pray for us at bed. And hopefully, parents, if you pray for your children, that's a wonderful thing. But my parents would pray for me. I would never express what I was dealing with. And I remember my mom would pray, or dad would pray, and they'd go downstairs, you know. And I would see these presents coming. And they would just hang around. And I didn't know how to deal with it. And then I remembered, growing up, we go to church, right? We're Mennonites, so we go to church. And we study the Bible, and we say Bible verses by memory at school. And I remember Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10. It starts out talking about the power that we have. I think I might actually have it right here. I'm going to just read this to you real quick. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His... Let's see. Finally, my brethren, be strong, Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt up with truth, and having your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, so you may be able to quench the fire darts of the wicked, and take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And I would put this stuff, and I remember these verses in Ephesians, and I knew that was power, but I didn't know how to connect that to me in bed, laying here. My mom prayed for me, and they're still there. And so I would, in my imagination, I'd be laying there. I would reach down and move my dad from his bedroom downstairs, and I'd bring him up and set him beside me in my bed. And then I would commence to do this. I put on his helmet and his breastplate and give him his sword and give him his shield. And then I'd do this little conversation with the demons and said, look, my dad's strong. He has this on that the Bible says. You're not stronger than my dad. And for some reason, they did not like that image that I had in my mind of my dad. And I just think that that is just another testament of the umbrella that we talk about as fathers in the home. And I think it's so real that fathers in the home, we need to be that umbrella for our children, for our family. But it's so powerful because that darkness is out there. And no better way than to tear the United States apart than start at home. And we talk about that a lot. By the way, tonight when I was trying to write this stuff down, just look at it, I had my pad here. And I was going through everything, but when I got to try to find Ephesians 6, it would not let me find Ephesians 6. And I shut it off and I turned it back on and it would not let me find Ephesians 6. And I started feeling stuff in me. And so I just started praying. I prayed, God, you know, take this anxiety away from me. Take this whatever. You know, this is a humble story. And I said, in the name of Jesus, come off of this little pad here. You know, it's not the Bible, but it's a pad with the word on it. And I renounced that, and I opened it up and hit Ephesians 6, and it popped up. Satan is wanting to cause issues. I don't care what kind of issues are. They can be very small issues. But any way he can do it, he will try to do it. Twelve, 13, 14, that's when I started experiencing dreams. Then he started coming at me with dreams, along with all this black shadows, choking dagger stuff. I started seeing dreams. I remember one dream that I seen very vividly. It was a dream of me standing in a sulfur wilderness, some place, and all of a sudden I realized I was standing with millions of snakes everywhere, poison, all the snakes in the world that are poisonous. And they were slithering around. These snakes were slithering around my feet. And I knew at any time a poisonous snake, I would step wrong or do wrong, and he would come up and snap me, and I would be dead because of his venom. And I was in there just terrified with snakes. And I would try to move around, and I couldn't get it. And so, I'd see a little spot, and I'd step. And just as I got there, I'd seen a baby snake sitting there. And so I put my foot, you know. And in my dream, I'm dodging these snakes. And I knew I wasn't going to get away from those snakes. And all of a sudden, I heard this rumbling, roaring sound. And I remember looking up in this dream, and I seen this blue horizon. And in the blue horizon, I seen all the fighter planes that were made in the worldwide. And I seen them roaring at me. You know, at a distance, you could see them. You know, these old World War II planes and whatnot, and the modern-day planes. I don't know. Some of these planes, I don't know if they exist, but I seen them. And they started coming, and I realized these were fighter jets, and I watched them. And all of a sudden, they started dropping these bombs, and I could see these bombs coming to the ground. And then another wave of fear swept over me, and I seen, we're going to get blown up. And I could see this coming. There was no way I could get rid of it. I forgot about the snakes. I was seeing the danger that was coming through the air. And the bombs started exploding. I remember this terrible explosion. And after that, this hellfire. Just fire everywhere. And then I'd wake up. And, you know, oftentimes I'd wake up in a sweat. And I never wondered why in the world did I have that dream. But I'd have other dreams similar to that through these times. 13 and 14, I would also deal with oppression, terrible much depression. I remember I'd sit in church and I'd feel like my own security was that what life was right then. And right then I thought was better than the unknown, which was 5-6 years from now. Okay, so right then, but obviously right then was not very good with me at that point. I was living in so much fear. I remember sitting in church and I could see you, and I remember seeing my friends sitting there. I remember 6 years from now, they're going to be, you know, my older guys that are 14 and I'm 11, you know, 6 years from now, they're going to be 20 some years old. And I could still see myself being 11, not being able to move. And I'm sitting there and everybody's smiling and happy. And everybody's just, you know, feel the joy of the Lord, and they're just doing their thing, and I'm sitting there just struggling. I have this little tears coming out of my face, and I don't know why they're coming out of my face. I'm 11, 12 years old. Boys don't cry. So I'm sitting at church, and I'm crying, and I have so much tears that come out, and I don't know why they're coming out, and I'm trying to keep them back from coming out just because, and everybody else is happy, and I'm trying to not cry for whatever reason. And I didn't know what I was crying about. And I just felt that depression, and I could just feel myself just melting down to a glob of nothing. And I felt like I'd be in this glass cup. And there's times my heart would hurt so bad, I would scream out for help. And nobody could hear me. And I felt like that little lizard your kids bring in from the yard. You know, their little lizard crawling around that jar. And I feel sorry for lizards because of that. You know, but maybe they don't probably feel like what I did. But that was such a trap. You know, it was so clear. I could see everything, but I couldn't feel and hear what they were feeling and hearing. I was just only feeling this empty hollowness. I remember, and that through those times too, it would hit me like he would start coming, and then he'd let go, and he'd let me go, and the oppression would hit me again, and he would just take me down to the lowest of lowest, and then he'd let go, and just antagonize me, or maybe it was God's way of pushing him back from me. And I remember we'd have a good time. We'd go to the youth gathering, we'd be hanging out or whatever, we'd be going out and doing some fun things, and everybody's like, okay, so we come away from a party, and everybody's like, oh man, that was awesome, I'm tired. Ooh. You know, everybody's normal, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that was fun. And I could close my eyes, and I could see 2 or 3 weeks ahead, or 4, and I could see where week 2, 3, boom, I could see a hole. And I knew that week two or week three from now, all hell would break loose again. And I'd seen it time and time again. And we'd go and have parties, and we'd come back, everybody do the normal thing. Man, I got to go home, it's late, you know. They had a good time. They go home and sleep, and they wake up, and then there's another day of happiness. But for me, it was just, I would close my eyes, and I could see it. And I remember talking to myself one time. I was like, yeah, well, that's right, but all hell would break loose later. That's what I thought was normal. I never told nobody the things that I was dealing with. That oppression and depression, when he would come and hit me, so painful. And if people only knew what hell was really going to be like, because that's what hell is going to be like, except probably a trillion, billion times worse. And it's going to be forever and ever. I remember I turned 18, and around that time, around age of 18, I had a flu, a regular sickness flu. And I was sick, and I went to bed early. And I was sleeping, and I remember in my subconscious mind, I felt the presence of darkness come into my room. It just swept into my room just silently, but it was black. It took over the room and just came over and just landed right over top of me. And then I started hearing these voices. Hey, Conrad, there's no God. There's no Jesus. And I'm in my dream. Yeah, there's a God. Jesus. No, there's not. There's nothing like forever. There's nothing like being saved. And it just started a soft voice. And he just started talking. He said, you're not saved. There's no heaven. There's no heaven. And then it started echoing and louder, 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 louder. And then I realized I was falling into this deep hole. And I could feel him pushing me. And I could feel my heartbeat starting to just go down. He was starting to push. It's like a snake, these anacondas and these cobras these kids keep. You know, these 8, 9 footers. I wouldn't even keep them in my house. Because that's how they kill people. They wrap and they squish. And that's what I was feeling. And I was laying in bed and I was realizing that something was happening. And then everybody has this area around about them. You know, I get too close to you, you're going to, like, you know, you pass that private area. And that's what he did. I felt him pass my area and he got into my body. And he started pushing me down and pounding me and telling me there was no Jesus, no God. All that was BS. He told me nothing. He said, there's nothing. Just whatever. And I started going deeper, and I realized I got fear, and I realized I was dying. And I remember I was thinking, okay, the blood of Jesus Christ. In my mind, I'm thinking this. And so I thought it. Nothing happened. And I realized I needed to say it, and that's when I started waking up. And I tried to say it, and I couldn't do it. And I realized he had my whole mouth and my tongue strapped down. And then fear struck me again. And I tried to sit up, and then I realized he was strapping me down to my bed. Could not move. And I fought with all my strength. I couldn't move. I finally was able to break one hand loose, and I just moved it over to my one hand and pulled myself over. And as soon as I pulled over, I felt my tongue come loose. And I said, the blood of Jesus, just like that, I felt him leave, just like a wave reversed out of my room. And I remember I called my mom and said, Mom, pray for me. I had a bad dream. I'd always call everything bad dreams. Everything that I dealt with, I always called a bad dream. I didn't even speak about it. And she came and prayed for me. I slept really good that night. Mornings, daytimes, that was my time to live. Because that's when the sun shone. Light reveals. Darkness does not stay in light. You'll see light linger out in the doors, but you won't see darkness kind of linger, little shoots of darkness in here. That's because light's so powerful. And I just had to think there also, Satan, he would hit a person. He hit me when I was the weakest, when I was sick. And there in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about lift up those that are weak. Let's see. Wherefore, lift up the hands which are that hang down on the feeble knees. And I think in the times of weakness, times that people feel weak, that's the times that we need to be aware and let God's Spirit talk to us. Because those people are in the weakest point, and that's when Satan usually likes to attack us. And that's my challenge to y'all, is just be open to what God has and be ready to help him. All right, 18, 19, I had these dreams again. And I had that same dream that I had about the snakes and the fire and the bombs and the planes. And I remember after I had that dream, I kind of woke up. I was like, something about that dream. That's kind of, I felt that before. I remember that dream. But I just pushed it off because it was darkness. I'd push it off and try to move again. And then he'd come with depression and oppression again. And something that I dealt with that I forgot to say, back when I was 12, 13 years old, I remember sitting in school, and we'd read the scriptures, and we'd read Revelation, and it talks about eternity forever and ever with God, and how eternity was forever and ever, and, you know, if you were not right with God, eternity in hell was forever and ever and ever. Forever and ever scared the mess out of me. I would get this freeze, my body would freeze up, and I would just go nuts. This forever and eternity thing was just too much for me. I couldn't handle. I remember sitting in school and everybody, they're reading and I'm sitting there. I'm just hanging on to my desk for fear if I would just explode because I felt so much fear and suffocation of forever and eternity. And that would continue to bother me until after I was 18, 19 years old. Whenever forever would come around, I actually didn't read Revelations for many years because of the fear of eternity. The thinking of the thought of eternity and forever just scared me. I think it was around that time, 18, 19, is when I just went down to my lowest, and I felt myself dying. These firefighters, they have these little gauges, these little, I forget what they called, I call it a little module, but they can walk into a building that was burnt and that's smoldering, and they can walk around and infrared, they can see where that heat is. If there's a little hot spot, they'll shine on that heat and you'll see a little heat hot spot on that thing. I felt like if you would go to anybody in my church at that time and you'd shine on them, that individual would pop up just bright orange and yellow. But when I felt it the weakest, I felt like you could have shined that thing at me and you would just seen a small orange. And I feel like he was actually, I don't feel like Satan had a death warrant on me, but he was trying to kill me. And in that time, I remember I crumbled. And I felt, you know, God, that's when Jesus came in. And we have these pictures of the footprints in the sand and where it would drop back to one set of footprints. And that's where I experienced Christ lift me up and he carried me. And I had my personal issues. I will admit, the carnal man was just as real in me as it is in you, along with everything else. So there was times in my life that I would struggle. There was times in my life that I didn't live like God wanted me to. And it's interesting, when I lived for self, Satan kind of backed off. Because Yeah, all right. You know, he's doing kind of what he wants to do. He's, you know, listening to music he wants. He's involved in, you know, he wants to get involved in pornography, whatever he wants to do. So I'll just sit back. But whenever I would stand up and say, God, I want to be yours, boy, I'd get his attention just like that. And he'd come back. And I remember people through that time, people were like, wow, Conrad has really changed, you know. And they'd come up to me and say, hey, Conrad, we want to bless you for your decision to follow Christ, you know. We just want to bless you for the change. And I remember waking up that time after my deepest point in my life there, and I remember there was a change. Something happened to me. And I could see blue skies, I could see the sun, and there was something happened. But I didn't know what it was. And then I had people walking up to me, hey, Conrad, we're just happy with you, you know, and I could look in their eyes and I could see, I wouldn't see that look of disapproving. And I just want to say too with that, if you have people around you that are struggling, don't write them off as a loss or write them off as a struggling individual that just, oh, snap, he needs my prayer. Because they can feel that. I felt that. But how could I explain to them what I was dealing with? I'm not trying to make excuses, but on my defense, I was still trying to struggle with how God is real along with everything else. And that's just a word to you all. You got somebody struggling among y'all. Show them love. Show them compassion. Try to show them what Jesus would show them. So many times we write people off and we just do what we do. And God forbid. But these people's views of me changed, and they would look at me like, oh, God bless you, Connor. You're really changed, you know. We just want to encourage you. Well, I'm thinking, yes, I changed too. I know I changed. I don't know what it is. I didn't tell them I didn't know what it was. Because, see, everybody thinks that when someone, you know, Friday night, I got on my knees, dear God, please forgive me for this and forget, you know, and then we go along, and Saturday morning, we're just that different person. They expected that's what happened to me. That's not what happened to me. I can testify that I felt that. That's the time I felt like Jesus was carrying me. Did he deliver me from all my sin? No, he didn't. But he was just showing me his mercy until I could get strength again. I felt God so close at that point. And I tried to build on it, but it's hard to build on it when your belief of God is so small. After all those lies that Satan would tell you. I'd struggle with the fear of eternity over and over again. I couldn't handle it. Then I got married to my wife. Wonderful woman. Marriage doesn't take care of those issues either. And I was a pain in the neck to my wife, I'll tell you. There's times I'd come home and she'd be singing and praising and worshiping God, and this thing would raise up inside of me, and I don't know why. I would just get so angry when she would praise and worship God. But see, I'm a Christian, right? I shouldn't do that. And some of these times I felt like I wasn't even in control. And I'd pray, God, forgive me for what I'm doing. You know, forgive me. Maybe it was something that I did last year. So God, forgive me for that because I'm acting this way. And I was not in control of some of these feelings. And I would try the best that I could. Then we had children. And that iniquity that it talks about in Leviticus, from second to third generation, it started doing that to my children. My children started dealing with things. They would start seeing things in their bed. They'd start having things crawling over them, on them. And along with that, I was so fear of future. I had the fear of the unknown. And remember, I would fear that something bad was going to happen to my wife or to my children. And I'd get myself so worked up. I just did not want anything bad to happen. I would get so mad if my wife didn't take care of my boys when they were doing something because I was afraid they were going to hurt themselves. I'd get so angry. And I remember I would just feel so insecure of what the future held. I just didn't know if I could handle if God would call one of my boys to go home with him by an accident or something. And I would get so angry with this. And I remember I told God, you do not hurt my children in any way. I just knew God was doing it. And I would get so angry at him because I was afraid of the future. so angry. And I finally my decision, if God does anything to my children, I was going to hate the hell out of them. I was just going to hate him. That was my decision. But in that time, God just so mercifully probably swiped that aside. Because he knew what he had for me, even when I didn't. About that time, I started realizing that there's something that needs to change in my life. And I remember telling my wife, I said, I need counseling. I need, something's wrong with me. Because this eternity thing, I'd drive to work and I'd all of a sudden think of eternity and I would go crazy in my truck. And at times, I remember one specific time I was yanking my hair, trying to yank it out while I was driving. I was screaming, I was crying because forever was taking over. Forever and ever 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 was pounding my head. And I couldn't even focus. And I was coming up to a bridge and I contemplated hitting the bridge and totaling my truck and hopefully getting knocked out so I could quit thinking of this. I didn't, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to get. So in those times, I'd start praying, God, I'm sorry for when I looked at that woman wrong at the Walmart the other day. I'm sorry for when I hurt my younger brother when I was 15. I'm sorry for when I did so-and-so with my sister when I was 12. I'm sorry for when I did something just the other day. I'm sorry for the sin I might do tomorrow. I'm sorry that I might do something wrong and lust at somebody 10 years from now. So, and I was trying to do everything I could, just be sorry for everything, so that would just fix problems, you know, because we just repent, and you're happy again. And I would repent and repent about stuff I didn't know was coming, or maybe, possibly, if, so, and it wouldn't help. I'd ask God so many times, I mean, just please. And so I told my wife, I need some help, and I don't know what kind of help I need. See, it was kind of different. You see this person that's got tobacco issues, right? He's smoking and he's struggling and finally he said, let's go to counseling and get, you know. Or you see this person that's struggling with depression and so let's go to counseling. And this person over here is struggling with, you know, abandonment. Oh, let's go to counseling. And everybody's got this little thing. Okay, yep, this is my problem. You know, doing, you know, let's go. Let's go counseling. I didn't know what I was supposed to go counseling for. Yeah, let's go to counseling, you know. So, what's your problem? I don't know. I just got problems. I don't know. I've got major problems. I didn't know how to put it into words. And that's when I finally said, God, I said, there's things that need to happen in me. And I said, I want you to help me. I want you to break something in me. I want to be yours all the way. Just do something with my life. And I will tell you, if you think you're ready for what God's got for you, when you tell him, when you give him a challenge like that, and you think you're ready for it, I will promise you, you ain't going to be ready for what God's going to have for you. If you tell God, all right, God, I'm ready to get this ship in the wind here. What can we do? Don't think you're going to handle everything, because God, he will do more than what you expect him to do. And through that, I started going through this journey of being able to figure out that, you know, I need to work on this. I need to work on fear. What if I, you know... And things started making sense. God started making sense. God started having a little more power than what I thought he had. God started having a little more love than what I thought he had. And I was talking to my parents one evening. We talked for hours. And I remember I would tell my mom, I said, you know, speaking of some of my stories that I had in my life, I said, do you remember back when I was 4 or 5 years old and I had these dreams? And she said, yes, she remembers. And she would commence to tell me her perspective of the whole thing. I was like, man, that's an issue. You know, that's something. I said, Mom, do you remember back when I was like 11, 12, and I didn't think, yeah, she remembered. Mom had this different story, and I had this different story. And it was just interesting. We started putting this stuff together. And that's one thing Mom and Dad really admitted. They felt really bad. They felt like it was their fault that I was dealing with that. And they felt really bad that they did not know that I was struggling so many years. And I didn't hold my mom and dad accountable for it. Mom and Dad had been in a family, in a church, in a home that had that protection that did not allow that demonic warfare to be alive. And but we were just talking, and for a couple hours, you know, I would tell her what I was dealing with, and she would put her side to it, and it just made a lot more sense. My story was coming together. I could see why my mom always feared. She said she always feared something was wrong with me. Yeah, I didn't fear it. I knew it. But we were just getting my stories together, and once we started getting my stories together, it was starting to make sense. Like, I understood that God was around. Why did he was letting me do this? I don't know. Why was he allowing me to feel this? I didn't know. And I was just feeling a freedom with speaking to my mom about this and my dad. And we prayed over the phone, probably what, 2 hours worth of talking and stuff. And I got off the phone. I was like, wow, I'm finding freedom, you know. And I went to bed, and my wife was working. Still, it was late at night. And I went to bed, and I was laying there just, thank you, God, for what you're doing. You're amazing, God, you know. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice. Heard him speaking. I heard his voice, but I didn't. Yeah. He wasn't talking loud, but I still heard his voice. And he said, Conrad, he said, denounce a curse that was on your life. I'm laying in bed. I'm like, what? A curse? I got a curse in my life? He said, denounce a curse that was on your life. That is on your life. And I was like, by that time, I was like chuckling a little bit. I was like, well, God, I said, you've been doing some wonderful things in my life. So I'm going to take you at your word. If I got a curse in my life, I'm going to do that. That's when I found freedom. I remember I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bind the stronghold of this curse. I denounce it through the blood of Jesus Christ, and I take it to the cross. Get out of my life. And I opened my eyes, and I seen so much power. I had never felt that power before. I realized when I opened my eyes, there was always a ceiling to God's power. When I opened my eyes, I seen no ceiling. And yet I'm not quite sure what I was seeing, but I seen no ceiling. And I was so excited, and I was like, man, I'm free. I'm not in this chains anymore. I'm free. Yes. And I told my wife, I said, hon, I denounced a curse in my life, and I'm free. I'm feeling so free. I'm excited now. It's 12, 1 o'clock, you know. And I was like, man, I got to tell somebody. So I grabbed the phone. I, you know, call my friend. He's like, hello? You know, he's waking up. I was like, yes, I'm free. I'm free. You know, free from what? Would you fall in the ditch or something? And I'm like, I'm free. I'm free. I told him, Jesus, God showed me that I had a curse in my life, and I denounced it to the blood. I'm free. Man, yo, yes, great. You know, great. You know, he's still waking up when he's having a dream still or not. You know, I hang up and I call somebody else. Same thing. You know. You know, when you get called at 12, 1 o'clock, usually someone's dead or someone got in a bad accident. But I had a different story. And I was so excited. And I don't know if I slept good that night, but I remember going to work. I was still working with Ronnie there at Greenwood. And I jumped in my truck, and I was hauling tail to work, you know, come to a stop sign, and I'd stop a car, pull up. I'm like, hey, how you doing, man? I'm free. Yo, I'm free. You know, I just know they were like, okay, that boy is definitely slung out on crack or something. And I was just waving. I'd see something. Hey, I'm free. I'm free, you know. God bless those people, because they didn't know what was hitting them. But and that's what I felt like, that crippled or that blind man that Jesus healed. And he said, now, don't tell nobody. Guess what that man did? He blew up the world. He told everybody. And that's what I was doing. And I was so excited about this. And God started working these things through me. And I became free of the stronghold that was in me. And then I realized that that stronghold had not only stayed on me, it had gone to my children as well. And I remember at nights, I would still feel heavy because he would come back and antagonize me. And he would come at nights and he would try to get on my children. And one night I was so tired, and I could feel, that's one thing I can still tell you today, is if I'm in the presence of someone that has a demonic stronghold, I can feel it in my body. I can feel it. And I would feel this, and I could feel it coming up and down my back, and I knew I had to battle. And so I remember I was praying over my son, middle son, Caden, and he was just out of sorts. He was stressed at 2 years old, out, you know. 2 years old, they got this terrible twos. Well, this is different terrible twos. This is stress. And I was praying over him. I could feel that darkness just trying to come back. You know, it was angry that I had denounced it in my life, but it was trying to say, okay, well, I'm still here. And I was praying and I felt so weak. And in that time, I just started taking an evaluation of myself and I realized that I was afraid and that I didn't have much faith. And I finally just told God, I said, God, I said, for so many years, raised up in this Mennonite family, we always walk around, we always talk about faith, we always believe that God can do anything. And I always acted like I had faith the size of this big, huge, oversized watermelon. When in fact, I only had faith the size that was smaller than a mustard seed. And I just confessed that to God. I said, God, I'm sorry where I tried to act like I wasn't. I said, will you forgive me with that? I said, can you just come down and show me you're real? Show me that you care. And that's when he came down. And all of a sudden, I was sitting there praying and I felt him lift me up. It was an awesome feeling. He came and lifted me up, and I actually felt I was in the air being held, and I actually looked down to see if I was standing on the floor. Physically, I was standing on the floor, but in my spirit, he had lifted me up. And then he laid his wonderful hand on me, on my shoulder. It was such a soft, such a patient, loving, kind, all-knowing hand. It was this huge hand. It kind of engulfed my half side of my shoulder. If that's what we're going to feel when we get in heaven, that's going to be a most wonderful thing. I broke those chains off my children. And the night that I broke the chains off of them, I remember I started praying over them again. I would always pray for bad dreams for them as well. Because see, I'd pray for bad dreams for me up till that point too. At 25, 26, praying for bad dreams for myself. That sounds a little strange. But that night that I denounced the curse out of myself and also broke the chains of my children, I remember I started praying for my boys, dear God, be with, Josh and just keep him safe and help him be good for his mom. And I got to the place where, you pray for the bad dreams. And I stopped. And I realized that, if I believe that God has denounced that curse from me, then I don't need to pray for bad dreams anymore. And I think I can honestly say for the most part, from now to about 3 years ago, I haven't prayed for them for bad dreams anymore. And it's not been an issue. And that just verifies the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I was still working with things because there was times when I could feel him coming and checking on me. He would like to come and tempt me. And because he had me so long, he would show himself to me. I remember one time he showed me soon after I broke this thing. He came and I remember I felt his blackness hanging over my house. And I remember I closed my eyes and I could see my house down below and I seen this black cloud hanging over the house. And I'm in bed, I'm sleeping, I woke up and I started praying, I just praying. And I think at that point I had woke my wife and said, I feel him here. And we were just praying and I was praying and I was praying, fall back to sleep. And I jolt back to wake and I'd start praying again. And eventually I closed my eyes and I could see my house again and the cloud had disappeared and I could fall asleep. Another time he would come back, and I always wondered why he wanted to come back. Another time I was sleeping, and I felt this dream of him standing beside the door. He was looking in, no expression, just looking at me. And in my dream, I remember I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And there was this huge explosion. Boom! And I jerked awake from my sleep, and I reached over to see if my wife was awake. If that woke her up, she was sleeping just fine. And I knew he was there, and I just, thank you, the blood of Jesus Christ. Another time he came to me, I woke up. He was in the room. This side of my body was laying in bed. This side of my body was warm. Under the covers, and this side, it was as cold as everything. I felt goosebumps on this side. I knew he was standing right beside me. And there again, in the name of Jesus. Last year, I helped with backyard Bible school. And I remember one day, was it a Thursday or Wednesday? I forget what day it was. I come out of the gym, and I was looking across the yard, and I seen all these children running around, tense. And I seen so much excitement in the children's eyes. I seen the caretakers walking around, the staff. everybody was just pumped what God was doing with the children at Backyard Bible School. And I remember seeing this, you know, this, I was like, wow, God is real. That night, I had a dream. And I was standing at that same point, looking across the crowd, children running here and there, and the staff. And I was watching people, and I was looking, and all of a sudden, in the far corner, I seen this person dressed in all black standing there. And he was looking my way. I couldn't see his eyes. He had black glasses on, black sweater, black coat, black pants, black everything. He didn't move. He was just looking at me. And in my dream, I'm thinking, wow, all those people. And I seen him. And I realized that the day before, when I had witnessed this, he wasn't in that picture. And immediately I knew he was coming back again. And I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And just like that, he left. Why did he keep coming back? God revealed to me another thing. He revealed to me that I had the power of the blood of Jesus Christ within me. When I spoke that name, the devil would flee. But I also realized I had the spirit of fear still. I still feared him. And I denounced that curse of fear. And that too has left. He doesn't come to me like that. I think there's times that he will tempt me. But not because I've had that spirit of fear that was a door partially opened for him to come and see if he could just sneak his foot in there. I do not have fear anymore. I feel the power of God. I'm very humbled. I'm very sobered. I'm very aware that when we go into battle, we need to have people, brothers fighting us, because that darkness is stronger than a human. We know that. There's a right way to go through the battle in the spiritual warfare. I don't want you all to go to bed and think there's blackness behind every bush. But I will tell you, what I'm telling you, I didn't make up. This stuff is for real. I face this stuff. through that all, I just started realizing the grace of God, the power of God, and just started thanking God what He's really done in my life. And I'm to a place now, I see God just working miracles in me. And it's not about me, it's through me, but it's about Him. And I find out as I work through these things in my life, I push them aside and I renounce them and I take them to the cross, my struggles, my issues. I do not want anything to cloud that relationship between me and Jesus Christ. And that's my goal. And Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Let me just read that for you. Romans 38, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I believe that. But I also do believe what can separate us from the love of God is myself. My desire to not want to be close to God. My desire to not want to be pure. And I think we just need to take a day, everyday look at our lives. How is our view of God? Is it free? Can we feel His Spirit? Can His Spirit come through us and work out of us through the gifts that He's given us? And that's just my challenge for y'all, and that's the challenge that I want for myself, that every day that I could keep myself pure before God, because it is so wonderful to be in the presence of God, and it's so wonderful to be in God's perfect will for me. We need to take care of those things that pop up in our lives. And here's a story from that I thought kind of fit. It was kind of funny, but in Lancaster, where my wife lives, Ridgeview Road, there's a house. There's an Amish family that lives close to her place. And they are set on keeping that yard looking as pretty, the prettiest yard in Pennsylvania. They have everything perfect. They have the bushes perfect. They have the, you know, the flower beds perfect. The grass is perfect. Nothing is ever out of, you know, he's always blowing his, and I think it's his perspective. I think he's probably just a little bit, you know, you gotta be better than the, neighbor. And when the leaves are blowing, there's times that he will be out there blowing his big backpack, you know, roaring around, and he'll be blowing like 3 or 4 leaves. And he'd be blowing these things off onto the road and let the road people deal with them. And we would always chuckle about this, you know. And at one point, I'd never seen it, but one of the other, my family seen one of the children out there in the yard. And the child was underneath the tree, and he would wait for a leaf to come down and pick it up and clean it. And he was, I mean, this thing that these Amish have, you know, I give them a hard time because they're Yankees. I'm not quite sure whether or not pride was allowing him to do that because he wanted to have the prettiest yard. But I had to think, that's what we need to do to the best of our abilities. We need to keep those leaves from building up in our yard that God has built for us. Because if we let them build up, it's going to be hard to see the beauty that God has really put for us. And that's just my cry. Let's stay pure before God. Because there's so much power that God can do through us. And that's one thing he said, that, you know, he's going to do more through us than he did with himself when Jesus was here. And that is a very, very big responsibility that we can do, not on our own, but through the power that he's given us. And I'm excited about that. Prison ministry is this week. The prison crusade is this week. And if you are not a part of the prison ministry, God has you a part of something that doesn't involve inside of prisons. Prison ministry isn't the only ministry. And I'm not out here to push people into prison because I love prison ministry. But there's thousands of ministries out there. If we keep those leaves off our yard, we will be able to show forth God's love. We're going to be able to show God's power. I just want to bless you all with that. The story says that also there in the scripture, it talks about that lady that lost her penny. She could not find her penny. And so she called her friends, and they came and helped her look for her penny, and they found it. What did they do? They rejoiced with her. They had a big party. They were so excited she found her penny. And that's what I want you to do about me. I found my penny. I found freedom. And I want to rejoice with you. But I want, let's take that a step further. Whenever you find your penny, whenever you find what kept you from the love of God, what kept that whatever was between you and God, tell your story. Tell somebody. When you speak truth, when you speak, you reveal. When you reveal, darkness has to go. Don't feel ashamed to tell your story. It might be a small one. It doesn't matter. Speaking frees you. Speaking will free you. And I just want to bless you all with that. That's all I have tonight. I would like to pray for you all if I could. Can we pray? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your many blessings, Lord. Thank you for the power that you have. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. God, I just want to bless this church, these people here tonight. Lord, I want to lift them up to you, Church of Shiloh, God. I want to reach into their lives and pull out that power that you have in each one of these, God. The gifts that you give them, Lord, just allow them to use that for your honor and for your glory. Lord, allow them to believe that there's nothing that can separate us. Our only choice is that whether or not we want that or not, God. And I just pray that you would give them a desire to follow you. Be with all these children, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray a prayer of protection for these children. Lord, just pray you'd put your feathers around these kids as they go to school tomorrow. Just bless them, God. This is your young army that you're going to have. And Lord, bless the parents as they teach them. Lord, they make mistakes just like I do, but You see perfection when we're on our knees, not when we do everything just perfect. Thank you, God, for what you've done. And all God's children said, amen. Blessings to you all.